This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Like our music, I picture it as being, very ugly, heavy chords, and everything's really abrasive. And the music is really, but at the same time, it's really soothing. I think a lot of my melodies and a lot of the vulnerability that I put myself in when I sing are extremes. And just something I was into, I think I picture fur as being really glamorous and very beautiful. But around the inside, it's skin, and it's ugly. So it's somewhat of a metaphor for the music and just of the way I feel sometimes about people, being really pretty on the outside and ugly on the inside.
Welcome to No Filler, the music podcast dedicated to sharing the often overlooked hidden gems that fill the space between the singles on our favorite records. My name is Travis. I got my brother Quentin with me, of course. And today we are talking about Deftones and their second studio record, Around the Fur, came out in 1997. That was, of course, the lead singer Chino Marino describing the two sides of the Deftones coin, Q. And that's what I'm excited about chatting about here, Q.
Yes, I am not familiar with Deftones at all. One of those bands, and there's just so many of them out there like this where it's like, what have I been waiting for,
Yeah.
Like, I know they're around. I know that they're
iconic.
Iconic, yeah. And yeah, I didn't really know what to expect, but I really like that. And yeah, that juxtaposition that he was talking about in that clip really shines through in this song. You just get punched in the face with that chorus.
Yeah. So that was My Own Summer, parentheses, Shove It. It's one of the two singles off this record. But yeah, man, this is just an interesting band. I have only just now recently started listening to them. And one of the reasons I wanted to give him pay some more attention to them is because I kept hearing that Narrowhead, which is one of my favorite new acts, draw a lot of influence from Deftones. And you can definitely hear it on the second single. I'm going to have that as our outro track. But anyway, I think this version, if you want to call it new metal, because that's the tag that they got thrown onto them back in the 90s, because this is right around the time that bands like Korn, had gotten that label was starting to get some traction and stuff. Deftones kind of wanted to distance themselves from that label, but we'll get into that a little bit more later.
So Korn was immediately thrown into new metal, that category. I mean, isn't Limp Bizkit considered new metal?
Yes, and that's the thing. That's the whole point, dude, is that like, basically, new metal just became this term to throw onto a band that like had metal elements to them, but then also it could be whatever the hell else you want. What I mean?
Yeah, I wonder if Linkin Park was considered new metal too.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But okay. Those bands have like rap.
Yeah, that's exactly
elements to it.
Exactly.
That's Deftones. No, right?
No.
I gather that
maybe a little bit here. Okay. I mean, But yeah, basically it's like, hey, we've got a guy that does some scratching on a turntable.
Yeah. Incubus.
We're a new metal band. Yeah. Incubus got thrown into the new metal category as well, which is crazy. Yeah,
I don't think Korn is the only one of that bunch that I would say is, you know, confidently say is new metal.
Yeah. Well, let's just jump right into it. So I've got an article here that I read. This was on the 25th anniversary of the record. So I guess that would have been 2022. Loudersound.com put out like a, you know, retrospective of the record. And the author of that article, Stephen Hill, wrote, in 1995, it would have felt pretty unique. But by the, he's referring to the first record, their first record. But by 1997, the emergence of debut albums from Cold Chamber, Limp Bizkit, Incubus, Seven Dust, Snot and Head. I have no clue what this last, Snot and Head? I don't know. Meant that, meant that the boundary free musical style was becoming codified, displaying tropes, rules, and a signature sound. Nu metal may have been in its infancy, but already the best in the genre could see the walls closing in. One album in, having never wanted to be a part of the scene in the first place, Deftones decided to make their escape from nu metal. And that's what this record is. So they wanted to start, you know, just kind of doing their own thing and try to stand out a little bit from the rest of the pack, you know. But, so this is interesting, Q. Deftones is frequently referred to as the Radiohead of metal.
Hmm.
And one of the reasons, I think, is because, you remember when OK Computer came out, like, Tom York was so, like, I guess,
he was
like,
trying to get away from the rock and roll.
Yeah, he didn't want to
rock
be...
rock star kind of label. Yeah.
Yeah, and so They started
doing stuff that they thought wouldn't get them radio play.
Yeah.
You know, because after Freak... Wait, is that what it's called? I'm
Creep?
A freak?
Creep.
Yeah, yeah. Creep. Creep. Yeah, because Creep just blew up, you know, and that was... I think that was right before... I think after the success and popularity of Creep, I think that's when he started to have that writer's block and those feelings of just wanting to escape that the rock and roll lifestyle.
Yeah. So that's essentially where Deftones is after their first record and getting thrown into this massive, like, you know, under this massive umbrella with all these other bands, you know. It's like they wanted to start being a little bit more distinct. So I'm going to quote this article again. It says here, to help change their sound further, Deftones embraced the most ethereal and cerebral elements of their influences, with Marino pointing to bands like Depeche Mode as an inspiration rather than any metal artist.
Nice.
Okay, let's just jump in here, Q. So I'm going to play the very next track on their record. Let's just dive right in, Q. This song is called Labia.
Come on.
Yeah, that really hits you in a weird way.
Okay.
But I like it.
All right. Expand on that. I got to hear you. What do you mean by that?
It's the whispering.
Yeah.
And the like, it's just very uneasy.
It's almost like a like a really fucked up ASMR video or something like that.
Yeah. And it's funny because he said in that interview, like his melodies and the emotions that he brings out when he's singing is very like, what did he say? Like not serene, but like not the, that was supposed to be the calm part juxtaposed with the heavy,
right?
You know, instrumentation.
Well, like his,
I mean, it's just as dark, I think.
Yeah, well, you know, it almost sounds
like an uneasy feeling.
It almost sounds like, you know, voices in your head kind of thing, like a schizophrenic person or something like that.
Yeah, that, dude, they would be interesting to see live with, you know, whispering into the mic like that in a live show, like in a really big auditorium.
Right. Oof. And then, of course,
the scream.
Yeah, it's almost like a squeal.
I mean, just fantastic screams, dude. Who's the screamer in the band?
That's him, dude. It's all him. But yeah, and so here's another thing here. This is interesting because we've heard this phrase before, but this is something that I have always, you know, attributed to the Pixies. But the loud, quiet, loud dynamic is, you know, something that is sort of attributed to this. Well, loud, you know, yeah, it's the same idea. Loud, soft dynamics, right? I'm reading from the Wikipedia page. The album was praised for its loud, soft dynamics, the flow of the tracks, Marino's unusual vocals, and the strong rhythm section grooves created by Cunningham and Chang. But yeah, that is, it's interesting because like that's...
I think the rhythm section grooves is what puts, is what was putting them in the new label, the new metal.
Well, it's metal. Category. Yeah, it's metal in general.
Yeah.
But yeah, the loud, quiet, loud, soft dynamic is what makes them so interesting. And that's why his vocals are so, so compelling, you know, because much like, you know, the soft vocals of a good shoegaze song juxtaposed with the loud wall of sound guitar and stuff like that, you get that same kind of like dynamic, you know? And Deftones certainly like flirts with shoegaze too in some songs. Anyway, all right, let's jump to the next track here. So this is going to be a completely different style, this next track. So, and I think this kind of showcases the versatility of the group. So here you go. We're going to jump to the very next track. This song is called Mascara.
Thank you. so bad. It's too bad. It's too bad. You're married to me.
Cool song.
Dare I say haunting? Those lyrics, man.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
What the?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
huh?
Hey, man. Welcome to Metal King.
Leaves you with a lot of questions.
But I think that's part of the kind of like what he was saying with his lyrics and stuff like that in that intro clip. That it's this weird, I think that plays to the dichotomy, the dynamic between like his soft delivery, but like the subject matter is also like very dark and kind of twisted, and
yeah, and then along with the metal grooves.
Mm-hmm.
And this came out in
97. So think about it. Grunge, yeah, already happened, right? Grunge came and went.
I think nu metal really took off by the time we were actually starting to listen to our own music.
I mean, this stuff was all over MTV, dude. All of these groups.
Deftones,
Limp Bizkit. Yeah, they were all
yeah. But Incubus.
Yeah.
It was. I feel like it was right around the time you and I were old enough to start watching MTV.
Total Request Live.
And care about music is when these bands were blown up.
Yeah. Now, I mean, for the record, dude, Incubus is not a nu metal band. Maybe some of their early stuff. By the time you get to Make Yourself and Morning View, which is when they were all over MTV with like, Pardon Me, Wish You Were Here. They had also kind of shifted into their own thing, right? But anyway, I want to do an episode on Incubus at one point, dude.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
I'm down for that.
Anyway, so I wanted to talk about the producer, because this guy is a heavy hitter, man, in the world of metal. His name is Terry Date. And when you look at his discography, he produced
a massive amount of albums.
Yeah, he produced basically all the important Pantera records, so like Cowboys from Hell, Vulgar Display of Power, Far Beyond Driven,
Screaming Trees,
Prong.
Hey, dude, let's not skip over Sir Mix-a-Lot, 1988 album called Swass.
That's funny, but yeah, okay. Soundgarden,
Helmet too.
Helmet, yeah, that's what, Incubus. There's Incubus, right? Limp Bizkit. So like, he was busy.
Stained, dude. I forgot about Stained. That was another one of
those. Yeah, here we go. Soulfly, Ozzy, Korn.
Whoa, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3. I guess he mixed that or something.
Oh, that's great, man.
That's cool.
Yeah, anyway. So I didn't even realize at the time. I probably played the shit out of
it. Maybe he's the one who put the soundtrack together. You know, picked the songs.
Dream job. Slayer. Anyway. Mm-hmm. So, he did White Pony, which is one of Deftones' probably most well-known records.
Mm, yeah.
The self-titled record. Anyway. Big name in metal that you may not have heard before, but you are definitely familiar with his work. One thing I wanted to say here. So, you know, this record blew up and it was, you know, highly, highly ranked among like top best metal records of the year, best rock records of the year. Kerrang, which is a metal publication, called it metal at its best. And they said that the Sacramento Quartet, so that they're from California, by the way, are the tightest wound ball of sound and fury in modern metal. One huge setting burst of pure distilled rage.
I want to know who the girl is on the cover.
Well, you want to hear the story about it, Q? Because there's a story about it.
Because it seems almost like a candid, like amateur shot. Photo, you know,
it was
like, okay.
Yeah. So, cause I looked this up too. The album cover was shot by the photographer Rick Kosick during a late night party in Seattle where the band was recording. Upon seeing the candid photo of a woman, the band decided that they wanted to use it as the album cover. He was unsure who the woman was, so the band had to find and track her down to obtain permission to use the photo, which she eventually granted. The woman appearing on the cover is Lisa M. Hughes, a friend of Stephen Carpenter. She has spoken out publicly about the cover for the first time during the album's 20th anniversary in 2017. Mariner has since expressed his dislike of the cover, calling it horrible. I mean, it's definitely salacious, you know?
I guarantee you that album cover helped sell.
Oh, hell records. Yeah, dude. Especially
For like teenagers.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah, but yeah, you know, it's just kind of, this is literally just a photo that this guy snapped at some party in Seattle.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like the kid from the Nirvana record from Nevermind, you know. People tracked him down.
Yeah, and he was trying to like sue them. Like, yeah. It's like preventing him from getting jobs or something.
How the hell would anybody know? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Let's take a quick break.
All right, so we're jumping down to toward the end of the record here. This song is called Die the Flu.
That's my favorite one that we've heard so far.
Oh, yeah?
Okay. Great track.
Nice, man.
Great track.
Nice.
Yeah, I was getting some Billy Corgan vibes, dude.
I can see that. I've always said that about Billy, dude, that he has that, like, sweet and sour.
Yes. Yeah, the very soft,
sickly, kind of sweet.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, dude.
Yeah, totally.
I liked that song a lot. Really good.
All right, Q. So I got one more track for us here. Let me quote Kerrang again. So I get, so this article is actually their original review. So this came out in 97 when these words were written. Around the Fur is metal at its best, brutal, raw, and unforgiving, unafraid to bare its soul and display its intelligence. Now, this last part cracked me up. Make space in your CD rack now.
Man, we had some cool CD racks, dude.
We did.
I remember that was like a part of the decor of a house.
Yeah.
Was your CD rack.
You gotta put those on display. And now it's all about the, you know, the vinyl record shelf or whatever, which is funny because it's coming full circle, right? But yeah, I just thought that was funny because
that dates it.
CD rack, you know. Anyway, all right, Q. We got one more track for us here. So here's something that doesn't happen anymore. You remember when you would, speaking of CDs, you'd be listening to a CD and it would end and you would just go about your day. And then 10 minutes later, you suddenly hear another song start playing. And you're like, what the heck? I've stumbled
on the hidden track.
I've stumbled onto a secret that nobody else is supposed to hear.
Yeah.
So I'm going to play the hidden track off of their last track called MX. So that is why this track is 37 minutes and 18 seconds long, because at the 32 minute mark, so right almost at the end, there is a hidden track called Demon.
Okay, that's pretty cool, actually, that they left the silence in it, even on for the streaming on Spotify.
Well,
there's 30 minutes of silence.
Well, what's funny is, because in between, at the 19 minute and 32 second mark, there is a track, if you want to call it, called Bong Hit. So there's a bong hit that happens.
Literally a bong hit.
I think so, yeah. I like the 32 second.
Well, Travis, I can tell you if it's a bong hit, because I've done a few of those in my day.
I mean, I've heard, I know what it sounds like, you know. But yeah, so, you know, you'll hear a bong hit, and then 14 minutes later, you'll hear Demon, which is actually a pretty cool track.
All right, let's hear it.
Which is, hey, you know, that's why we say you got to listen to the whole record, and you got to let it keep playing, or you're going to miss the hidden tracks. I remember the first time I heard the hidden track on the Kings of Leon record.
Was it Wicker Chair? Or no?
I think it was at the end of Youth and Young Manhood.
Youth and Young Manhood. I thought it was Wicker Chair.
Let's find out.
That one may have been on the actual record.
Tallahena Sky.
Tallahena Sky.
That was a great track too, man.
Holy dude, did you hear that new track that Tyler sent us? There's a new Kings of Convenience track. Kings of Leon track, and it's actually pretty cool.
I didn't listen to
it. Actually, cool. I'll bring it for next What You Heard.
Okay,
we can have that as the intro song because it's fantastic, dude. And it's actually got me pretty dang excited about some new.
Okay,
Kings of Leon.
All right,
it's different, man. It's good.
Right. Yeah, I'm pretty sure we played that track on the episode that we did on Youth and Young Manhood. I bet you we did. Feels like something we would do. Play the hidden track.
Yeah,
and that was like episode what, 3 or 4 or 5? That was one of the early episodes.
Yeah.
All right, so here we go. I'm gonna close this out with the hidden track off the record. Again, the song is called Demon.
Really good. Really good.
You can hear how influential these guys were.
I'm thinking like the third wave emo.
Yeah.
Must have been influenced by these guys.
Totally.
Like Imory and bands like that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially Imory, man, with the two, you know, the really nice, legit singing voice.
The soft, loud dynamic.
So, yeah.
Like Me Without You, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
With his vocal stylings.
Yeah.
Undoing a David Wright, just to sneak them in there. But let me ask you this, Q, because I think you hear it in this song. What do you think about Muse?
Yeah. Man, I haven't thought about them in forever.
That'd be an interesting episode. If we did, what was it, Absolution or whatever?
Absolution, yeah.
That would be interesting. I remember that record.
Dude.
Listening to that for the first time, I was like, man, this is different. It just felt different.
Yeah, I remember getting really, being really, really into that.
And I remember they had a really awesome record. Website at the time.
What, man, what was that one song that it got pretty big? Time is running out.
From that record?
Doom, 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 doom.
Yeah, time is running out. Dude, we should do that record. Anyway.
The snaps.
Yep. So
yeah.
The reason I'm saying that is because this is actually on the Wikipedia page for this record. The English rock band Muse have cited Deftones as a root influence, like core influence, and sometimes use the riff to head up as an outro to their song New Born during live performances. And Head Up is the track that Max Cavalera provided guitar and vocals on. Yeah, I'm curious about that particular record, Absolution. What were the singles on that record?
Time is running out.
Geez,
was definitely...
man, we can't... We'd be down to like Slim Pickens, dude, because there were six singles.
Hysteria,
off of that record.
Hysteria was probably a single.
15 songs, six of which were singles. Stockholm Syndrome, Time is Running Out, Hysteria, Sing for Absolution, Apocalypse, yeah, Please, Butterflies and Hurricanes. Remember Butterflies and Hurricanes? That song was awesome, dude.
Lots of good songs on that record. We have to listen to that.
Oh, man. Okay, anyway.
Very Tom Yorkian.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Muse and Radiohead, I want to say like a lot of people who have been Muse fans forever were kind of upset when Radiohead got all the fame earlier on, because I want to say Muse has been around for as long as Radiohead or longer.
Yeah, they've been
and
around
they're
a
so
while.
Similar in their sound.
They formed in 94.
Yeah. Dang, I'm curious. Man, they got a lot of records. I'm curious about their early stuff. All right, anyways, that's a tangent.
Showbiz. I mean, I think we listened to stuff. I remember Muscle Museum was cool. Remember that song, Muscle Museum?
Yeah.
All right. But that came out in 99. Surely they had some singles or EPs or something like that that came out before that. I'm just looking at Spotify. Anyway, they're still putting out stuff, Kim. All right. So that was it. That was a very, very brief bird's eye view of Deftones, Q, because, I mean, like I said, they're iconic. There's been, you know, like I've just started listening to these guys, which is, again, it's one of those bands where it's like, well, why did I sleep on these guys back in the day? My journey through music, I don't think I was listening to bands like this. You know what I mean? I didn't have a tolerance for the screaming yet back then.
Queens of the Stone Age.
That was
the Songs for the Deaf was our dip into the waters.
100%.
And finally realizing that the water was just fine.
Well, I mean, yeah. Can you say that though? Because I can safely say that Queens of the Stone Age was when I dipped a toe and just kind of kept waiting around and just got deeper and deeper. But you were like, this is a little too hot for me. And you kind of removed your foot.
Actually, I was like, you know, this is okay. And then I kept trying to take a few steps down deeper into the water. And I'm like, hang on now.
I'm not ready for this
yet.
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, Deftones, Q, maybe you could listen to them.
Yeah, I should definitely get a cue up.
What's interesting about the kind of the grunge revival that's happening right now is that, and we've talked about this before, that they are, because we're so far removed from the entire decade, bands like Narrowhead are pulling in bits of Smashing Pumpkins, bits of Alice in Chains, and then, you know, bands like Deftones. So it's like the whole thing is just sort of like mashed together into this awesome, you know, sound, right? And definitely you can hear the influence on the vocal stylings of Narrowhead and a bunch of other groups like that, a lot of which we've covered. Trauma Ray is one of them. Soulblind, that's what I'm thinking of. Soulblind. There's just, you know, all those bands that are putting out that 90s kind of tinged music. You can hear bits of Deftones in there. They're definitely influenced. And that's, you know, probably because their parents listened to Deftones, which is really interesting to think about, along with all those other 90s bands. Anyway, Fleshwater, remember them?
Oh, yeah.
All right, Q. Well, I'm going to close this out. We're going to have our outro track, I should say. It's going to be a song, the second single off of this record that I think sounds a lot like Narrowhead. It's called Be Quiet and Drive Far Away. So that's going to close us out. So a couple of weeks, we'll do our March What You Heard episode. You know, stay tuned for that, our monthly mixtape. And then what are we doing after this? Do we have an album?
I don't think we've decided
yet. You have to mix things up a bit. So I feel like after a Deftones episode.
It's tough, man, because we have we only have 12 albums total for the whole year. Yeah.
That's right, man.
So, I don't know. We're going to have to think on this.
So far, we've done Dinosaur Jr. We've done Cocteau Twins, Deftones. okay. Well, we've got some ideas. We'll figure it out, and we'll have an idea, better idea by the next episode. All right, Q. So again, we're going to close out with the track "Be Quiet and Drive Far Away" by Deftones off of their '97 record "Around the Fur." Be sure to check out the Pantheon Podcast Network for more great music-related podcasts. That's pantheonpodcast.com. Thanks as always for listening. My name is Travis,
and I'm Quentin.
Y'all take care.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's fantasypoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. Fantasypoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.